This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Billy Stats here with Fox Sports Knoxville, and I'm here to tell you DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $150 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win the next game, and if they do, you will claim $150 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Russell Bear and Jake Miller with you. Jake's got your Top 4 for it. It's brought to you this afternoon by Blue Water Climate Control. Jake, potentially
wow,
earth-shifting news to begin the Top 4 at 4 today, potentially, I say, as this news is just beginning to trickle out and would change college football and college sports as we know it.
Number one, the Houston Chronicle has an exclusive article. Texas and Oklahoma reach out to the SEC about joining the conference. When Greg Sankey was asked, he said no comment on that speculation.
According to the Houston Chronicle, Texas and Oklahoma have inquired about joining the SEC, and an announcement about a possible expansion to 16 teams could come within a couple of weeks, according to the report. Bear is speechless.
I mean, the problem right off the bat with Oklahoma is Oklahoma's not going anywhere without Oklahoma State.
What? They're not?
They're no.
Why?
People in Oklahoma go crazy. That's just what I've always heard is Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, they're not splitting them up.
I think if you're talking about creating a 16-team Super League and the TV contract that would bring, I mean, you might have some fans that be upset about it, but
you treat it like Florida does Miami or Florida State. Florida State, the better example. You slot them one game a year in your non-conference game, and you just play them.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
And this is not a coincidence that what we talked about yesterday, Ross Dellinger is very plugged in about the potential of a fourth division made up of the 65 Power 5 teams, or even a separate football FBS only association for football only. You know, we're talking about these radical changes. And Sankey has been outspoken about it, and the commissioners are – there's clearly something going on behind the scenes. Now, we don't know that this is going to get done, but this makes a lot of sense to me. It's almost kind of like what went on with the quote-unquote European Super League a month or two ago in soccer, where the teams tried to break off. They see this coming. They see this coming, and this is a chance to combine forces, strengthen numbers, get those – TV contracts is as big. I mean, I don't even know that. Would they rip up the new ESPN ABC deal that's going into effect in 3 years?
You don't know.
You're bringing Texas and Oklahoma to the table, and all of a sudden, those numbers go way up.
I mean, I couldn't. I don't know what they'd do.
I don't know, man. I'll tell you what, my gut reaction, kind of cool.
I'm intrigued.
Kind of cool. I mean,
kind of cool.
As long as we're along for the ride and
it ended up screwing UT.
As long as we don't get relegated, I'm kind of for it.
Number two, the Milwaukee Bucks finished off the Phoenix Suns to capture its second title. Giannis Antetokounmpo finished Game 6 with 50 points, 14 rebounds, and 5 blocks in his performance, also winning the Finals MVP.
Incredible performance. I mean, I remember on this show just maybe a month ago having a conversation when it looked like they weren't going to be able to get past the Nets of, what is this, or even the Hawks, what does this do to Giannis's reputation as a guy who's not quite ready for primetime. You fast forward to today, and he's won a championship. And he didn't have to go and create a super team. He didn't have to go join the Warriors or the Heat to do it. He did it in freaking Milwaukee with Chris Middleton as his sidekick. That's damn impressive. That's damn impressive. And sorry, went to Chick-fil-A, got 50 nuggets.
That's awesome. It was 50 chicken minis.
That's with the bread, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Everybody said carbs.
Nuggets. It's those minis are
that
good though.
I mini. Love those minis.
You never had a chicken mini?
I'm not a big fan of Chick-fil-A.
Oh. What? Whoa. Is that on the list?
No, but it doesn't need to be.
It needs to be.
I mean, I'll eat it. They got incredible cookies.
Okay.
Their shakes are good, but it's okay. Just not my. I'm just not
you,
a big.
You don't
Chick-fil-A
hate
guy.
It. You don't hate it. You're just. You're not.
I mean,
in.
they really hurt themselves with me by being closed on Sundays.
What's the matter? You don't love Jesus?
Huh? Cheese. I love cheese.
Go ahead, Jake.
What are you talking about?
Number three. In soccer news, the U.S. women's national team's 44-match unbeaten streak was snapped at the hands of Sweden.
Uh-huh.
USA fell in a shocking upset, 3-0.
It's like, to go from the contrast of likability to unlikability, like Giannis Antetokounmpo to the U.S. women's soccer team.
Pay us as much as you pay the men's players.
No. Nobody watches you guys.
I'm not going to lie. I watch the women more than I watch the men.
Do you?
I do.
Okay. You're one guy.
I don't watch it at all. I treat them the same way I do the I mean, if I'm being honest here, I'll turn it on if I hear
team.
They're losing.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be really unlikable to where your own countrymen and women don't root for you. I'm almost that way with our men's basketball team anymore. We lost today to Yugoslavia. Good.
Nobody screw watches them guys. Anymore.
Oh, man.
And number four, the 2032 Olympic Games are to be held in Australia. Brisbane won the award with no competition for the bid. Australia also hosted the popular 2000 Olympics.
Bear, as an Olympic,
got a problem with this.
As an Olympic enthusiast, what does it say to you that nobody wants the Olympics anymore? I mean, this used to be a big deal. You had like three or four cities bidding for it, and there'd be a big announcement. The presidents would all be there lobbying for their home countries.
They lose. It's a billion-dollar loser. You build all these facilities. They never get used after they're done. That's why it's unfortunate with the Tokyo Games. You know, they were utilizing facilities that were already there. And, I mean, COVID kind of wrecked it. My big problem with Brisbane getting it is, as we've talked about before on the show, Australia's in the Southern Hemisphere. So them hosting the Summer Games, either they need to offset it. I assume they'll start like the 2000 did, you know, in the early fall, which would be, you know, early spring in Australia. It's just cold down there. It's winter.
It's all money grab, man. We have the Winter Olympics in that place in Russia where it was a summer resort town. We have a World Cup in freaking Qatar. And yeah, why not have the Summer Olympics in the Southern Hemisphere? That makes perfect sense, but thank you, Jake. That is the Top 4 at 4. It's brought to you, as I say, by our friends at Blue Water Climate Control. You check them out online at bluewaterclimatecontrol.com. It's not winter here, man. It's hot out there, 90 degrees and a thick, humid southern heat. If your AC is on the fritz, if it's having any issues, if it's struggling to keep up, call our friends at Blue Water Climate Control, 865-299-2290, and get set up with an inspection today. Call the guys who do the right repair the right way the first time. Blue Water Climate Control, online at bluewaterclimatecontrol.com. All right, so this is huge news. Potentially, Texas and Oklahoma have reached out, according to a report from the Houston Chronicle, to the Southeastern Conference about joining the league. their articles behind a paywall. So I've seen some screenshots of it. If somebody wants to copy and paste it and send it to your boy, I want it, you know, who am I to turn down something that might or might not happen to show up in my DMs? But obviously, this would be huge. And
I mean, it's sending shockwaves through the college football world currently.
It would be the end of the Big 12. I mean, would that league fold? Is there any way they could survive at that point?
No, I think you'd probably see you'd probably see what? So who would that leave in the Big 12?
West Texas Virginia. Tech, TCU, West Virginia.
You'd see a lot of guys jump to the Big Ten.
Yeah, I mean, that the next move.
They'd be split between the ACC and the Big Ten.
Or the Pac-12.
Yeah.
Which would become the Pac-14 more than likely at that point. So that would almost have – you'd have to add more games to the schedule at that point, right? Because if we add Texas and Oklahoma, we'd have 16 teams in the SEC. You're slated for 8 right now, correct?
Yeah.
So you'd have to add either one more conference game, only play 3 non-conference to keep that rotation going. Or
do you just have all conference schedules? Because this is what has happened in European soccer. People hate those examples, but that's the money dictated that's the way it became, and that's what's happening
right.
To a large extent over here now. Is how can we get these games?
College football get their ducks in a row.
How can we get these games on television? And we talked. I mean, there were people last year who said, "Hey, the COVID, it's crazy. The Big Ten doesn't want to play. Fine, let's play a 13-game SEC round robin." I advocated for that. I thought it'd been awesome. But if you have a 16,
I thought that was a great idea on your part, boss.
If you have a 16-team league, or who's to say it stops there? You go get 20 teams. You know, then all of a sudden, obviously, you're not going to play 19 college football games in a regular season, but you could play 12 and in conference only and have some sort of rotation there. My initial thought is that would almost have to be the end of the current divisional setup and the Tennessee, Alabama, LSU, Florida, these rivalries every year. I think some of that would have to go away. And that's going to be a major sticking point for traditionalists to get over. But it's all a big money grab.
Get over. I mean, it's done. There's nothing else to get over. I mean, it's never going back. I don't know how they do the schedule. I'd be all for it if it moved Alabama off our damn schedule every year.
I agree with you on that.
Brian says, I'm all for this move. Put Texas and OU in the West and Auburn in the East, and let's go. Woo! That is a tough row to hoe in the West, man. So it would be Texas, OU, Bama, LSU, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Arkansas.
I mean, hell, the SEC West would damn near be the old
Texas
Southwest.
A&M. Yeah.
Be the old Southwest Conference.
Well, and you're rekindling that rivalry between Texas and Texas A&M.
Great opportunity to talk to our friend Nick Bromberg from Yahoo Sports, national college football writer, will join us coming up here in just a few moments. Texas A&M AD Ross Bjork is down at SEC Media Days today. Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, with a quote from him. Ross Bjork on news that Texas and OU could be coming to the SEC. Quote, "We want to be the only SEC team from the state of Texas." So A&M doesn't want them. Keep in mind, a big reason A&M, yeah, it was a lot of money.
Blank, Bjork.
It was a lot of money for A&M to leave the Big 12 and come to the SEC, but a lot of it was to do with them getting out from under Texas's shadow, and that's been successful, right? I mean, they've renewed their brand. It's different for them right now. They're in the better conference, and Texas, I think, has suffered because of that. So I can see why he would not necessarily be for that.
Yeah, but A&M doesn't have the Bjork doesn't have the power to stop that.
All right, let's put the poll in the field. What do you think? Do you like this idea? Should the SEC expand to include Texas and OU? There would undoubtedly be a domino effect here, right? Because the Big 12 immediately shifts to survival mode at that point, and they would only have eight teams and no marquee names at that point. And so sensing that, you've got to feel like the Pac-12, the ACC, the Big 10 would immediately, first of all, try and pump up their numbers the way the SEC has. But then they're going to go after whoever's left, whoever they think they can get to increase their TV contracts, their TV deals. And I don't know. I just don't know that there's any properties in the – and we're describing these, you know, these are public learning institutions as properties, but that's essentially what they are from a college football economics model. West Virginia, would the ACC try and swoop in and get West Virginia?
Yeah, that would just make the most sense. The big issue with me is, I mean, Texas has got an overinflated sense of self-worth. How are they going to deal with being in the SEC?
They'll make a lot of money, but get their teeth kicked in.
They aren't going to be able to do that horns down deal where they get preferential treatment. They aren't going to run the show.
Yeah, but if there's no show in the Big 12, they've got – what would you do? What would you do if you're in their shoes? Would you rather go to the Pac-12? I mean, that's an option. They discussed that a couple of years ago.
If I were them, I don't know. I mean, the Pac-12 just makes – zero sense, but why would you want to stick your head and, you know, just jump into this buzzsaw that the SEC is?
Well, here's the other thing that you have to consider for the, I mean, is at that point we add these two teams, we go down that road. Is this even the SEC anymore?
No. Geographically,
yeah,
no.
But none of this is what it once was, Russ. It's just not.
Well, that's what I mean, the 10-team league you and I grew up with is it went to 12. It's gone to 14. Now we're talking about 16. I mean, at what point at what point do you change the name? At what point is this the Southeastern Super League?
Well, I think that'll probably change when they finally pull the trigger and detonate the whole thing.
Quick timeout.
Massive realignment.
Nick Bromberg of YahooSports.com coming up momentarily. We'll get his thoughts on this breaking news this afternoon. Again, reporting the Houston Chronicle, Texas and Oklahoma reaching out to the SEC about joining the conference and possible expansion up to 16 teams. Stay tuned. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
Like it or not, social media.
Fish.
Welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Nick Bromberg is a college football writer for YahooSports.com. He joins us on the show this afternoon. Good afternoon, Nick. How are you, sir?
Well, we clearly don't have anything to talk about right now.
You know, it's funny, me and our producer Jake Miller here were at lunch today, and we were lamenting the fact that, man, SEC Media Days, it's not what it used to be. There's no big news coming out. Nobody's saying anything. It's just not interesting, and it's going to be kind of a boring end to the summer before we get started with college football. And then just moments ago, as you're alluding to, the bombshell report from the Houston Chronicle that – Oklahoma and Texas have both reached out to the SEC to inquire about joining the nation's most powerful college athletics league. Your thoughts on what this would mean for the sport? First of all, do you think that this rumor has legs?
You know what? I'm not gonna sit there and discount it right away, but I'm also not going to Well, look at this. The story, it says that an announcement can come in the next couple weeks. And I think it feels like the could in that sentence is doing a lot of work. It feels like with this coming out, remember the carousel we did basically a decade ago, where it was weeks and weeks and months of this stuff before anything was official? Because, you know, there's a lot of stuff that would have to be renegotiated and worked out for something like this to simply even get to the step of being close to happening. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say and throw cold water on the fact that Oklahoma and Texas may have said, hey, look, you know, let's explore this. But in terms of the finality of it being very close, that's what has me a little skeptical. And quite frankly, I am trying to grasp right now currently how we frame this discussion in 2021 versus how we were framing it in 2011. From a competitive standpoint, I don't understand why Texas would want to do this. Texas is having a hard enough time in the Big 12 to, you know, basically be the top dog in the conference. That's something that Oklahoma has taken and is not seeing, I don't think, anytime soon with Lincoln Riley. Oklahoma, I think, can jump into the SEC and be immediately competitive. Texas, you know, you're still struggling. You don't win the Big 12 before you start thinking about, you know, even making the college football playoff here. And then also, too, you know, you look at Texas' status in the Big 12. They're not going to have that status in the SEC. And then simply from the greater perspective of this is the round of realignment in 2011 was driven so much by cable television and cable television contracts and conference TV networks. I mean, there is a very specific reason why Rutgers was in the Big Ten, why Missouri was added to the SEC, same with Texas A&M. You don't have to worry about that now in 2021 as we've been seeing all this stuff about how the future is not cable TV and everything is going to streaming. There's obviously still a financial impact there, but it's not necessarily about getting channels and households as it was 10 years ago.
Yeah, the financial aspect, I totally agree with you on the competitive aspect. Doesn't make a lot of sense for Texas. I'm wondering, and just we're all speculating here, right, because we're all digesting this news in real time. I'm wondering if Texas and Oklahoma, if they're, you know, the report is that they've both reached out to the SEC, and I can't help but think that if Oklahoma, whoever did it first, right, or I don't know, maybe they're doing it together, but the other school catches wind of this, they won't be left behind, right? Because Texas, yeah, they might be more competitively better off in the Big 12, but if Oklahoma bounces and all of a sudden they're stuck there in a league with Kansas and Oklahoma State, whoever, like, no offense, they're fine schools, but it's not a very good football league, then there might be a let's get out of the sinking ship and into a life raft first type mentality.
No, there is 100%. There is a codependency of national relevance there, where you have to have the strong conference, you have to have the two nationally relevant programs. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Iowa State, who I think is probably a top 10 team heading into this season. But you know, Matt Campbell and Iowa State, that doesn't have the tradition, the national appeal that Texas and Oklahoma do. And you know, and for the Big 12, you know, Texas and Oklahoma, given where football stands on the grand scheme of the pyramid and how much it props everything else up with football money, the Big 12 ceases to be that Power 5 conference without Texas and Oklahoma, and maybe even ceases to exist itself. And that's why this whole thing is kind of why it felt like, you know, when we did this 10 years ago, Texas, it always felt like Texas was going to head to the Pac-12 and whatever became the Pac-14, Pac-16 or whatever. And that would make sense because Texas would then be able to the dominant football program. You'd have Texas and USC, and you could talk about, I mean, you could relive the Rose Bowl every time they played and you know, just have a phenomenal game there and a rivalry, and then they could potentially meet each other in the Pac-12 championship game every single season. You know, right now as it stands, and this would be so far down the list of concerns in terms of the SEC, but it's fun to think about, is you're going to have an SEC where if on the chance that you do add Oklahoma and Texas, how lopsided is this conference going to be from west to east? The SEC would have to be reordered in some way, shape, or form because you would be drawing and adding in Texas and Oklahoma into the west. You would then have to bring somebody from that the current west, because you'd basically be at 9-7. You'd have to be somebody from the current west over to the east. you're not. Are you going to want to get rid of the Iron Bowl because you have the annual Auburn Georgia rivalry, which isn't going to go anywhere? Which is, are, can you get rid of the Iron Bowl every year because Alabama always plays Tennessee? You know, there would be some serious tradition changes for the SEC in this scenario that did not change in 2011 when A&M and Missouri came on board.
Or do you just get rid of divisions altogether and just say we're a 20 or a 16 team league?
I don't think that's the worst idea, because I think with the 12 team playoff, you then would at least get some variability at the top of the conference, because you would give the teams in the middle of the West currently, and I think pretty much everybody from, say, let's say 3 to 7 in the East, a chance to get a top four, top five finish in the conference by, say, you have a year where you don't draw maybe Alabama, Oklahoma, LSU, or one of those. You know, you can get the quote-unquote easy draw of the schedule, and you're not playing the current gauntlet that is or would be the SEC West in this hypothetical situation.
Talking with Nick Bromberg, yahoosports.com, this afternoon, and interesting news today, Texas and Oklahoma. We ponder what would the SEC look like if you added these teams. And a question I asked right before we had you on, Nick, was would this even be the SEC at that point? I mean, Bear and I are old enough to remember growing up in a 10-team league, and it was strange when Arkansas and South Carolina came into the league. We're still adjusting to Missouri and Texas A&M, and now you're talking about adding two more schools, and it just seems like there's no doubt to me, Nick, that this is not a coincidence when we heard talk earlier this week about a possible fourth division of college football, or maybe even separating college football from the NCAA and being run almost as a separate entity and business. It just seems like there is a major tide of change, even bigger than we knew. NIL is just a small part of it, right? I mean, college sports is getting set to change from what it has been the past 100 years.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I love Jimbo Fisher's comment just a few minutes ago at his time at SEC Media Days, joking that, you know, people were doing and have been doing NIL for a long time. They just were doing it under the table. And, I think we can all laugh at it and say, yeah, that's probably pretty true. And, you know, I would argue that this situation here, we're bringing two teams, which geography goes out the window when you have now three former Southwest Conference teams in the Southeastern Conference. You're hurting your more college sports upheaval by putting Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC than name, image, and likeness. And, you know, I think the Bryce Jones, what Nick Saban said about Bryce Young yesterday about how he has nearly $1 million in endorsement deals just being the presumed Alabama starting quarterback. I think we're going to see that kind of be the thing for the 5-10 star quarterbacks every single year. Not every player is going to get rich, but I do think, you know, what we see being the quarterback at Alabama, you know, Tennessee rebounds and you're the quarterback of Tennessee. Let's say Harrison Bailey has a fantastic season going into 2022. He's going to be sitting pretty on the name, image, and likeness front there. I think you're going to see star quarterbacks really getting their money over the table, and you're going to see them in college and ads across the board. And quite frankly, I love the fact that you've got offensive lines around the country getting sponsorships by barbecue joints and restaurants. I mean, that's just absolutely perfect. Keep it coming. Every offensive line needs to be sponsored by a restaurant.
Nick Bromberg, Yahoo Sports, with us this afternoon. Well, it is talking season, as Coach Spurrier used to call it. The conference media days underway. Anything that has caught your ear other than what we've learned in the last half hour or so?
You know, nothing really. This has been fairly quiet. I will say this, and I'm speaking of all from a personal perspective, I am very glad that Kirby Smart and Nick Saban have said what they have said about vaccination and the SEC taking the stance that it has. And I think framing it in the competitive light is probably the way to go with this, in that, you know, teams and schools saying, look, if we have our players, we hit the 85-90% threshold, we are minimizing our chance of having a game canceled this year, because the Big 12 has teased it, the SEC has teased it. You know, I think as we get closer to football season, we're going to see these COVID-19 rules come out before the season, and I don't think I'm going out on much of a limb saying that at least one Power 5 game somewhere is going to get impacted by COVID-19 cases. So these conferences coming out and making a statement already saying, look, if you can't play because of COVID-19, you don't hit the roster threshold, we're not doing what we did last year. We're not calling it a no contest. It is going to be a forfeit. The team that can't play isn't going to play. I think that's going to be fascinating because I do think that that rule somewhere is going to be invoked at least once across college football.
I always knew SEC football would save the world, Nick. I didn't know how until now, but here we have it. Nick Saban leading the charge to get, I believe Alabama's the least vaccinated state in the union at 33% right now, but his football team's damn near 90%, so maybe that'll win some hearts and minds down in Dixie.
You know what? I think everybody gets a crucial thing, be like an Alabama football player, go get vaccinated. That may actually be the most effective way to do things.
Roll Tide.
Yep, exactly.
Last thing for you, Nick. Deion Sanders doesn't like call the man coach. Call him Coach Sanders, Coach Prime. Do not call him by his first name. Nick Saban would cuss you out if you did that, according to Deion. Never mind the fact that evidently six people I hear did it earlier this morning. Eight people, Jake tells me. Nobody was cursed out, to my knowledge.
And that was I've seen the theory that Deion did that to get attention, knowing that Slack media days were happening at the same time as SEC media days. And I know he tweeted out the video last night. And I obviously know I'm speaking from somebody in the media. I don't understand how this is a good look for Deion. I understand if you believe that any attention is good attention, but this is not something that I think reflects well on Deion Sanders. If you want to be called coach, talk about it privately, handle it differently, but getting up and walking off because someone is calling you by your first name as an adult is so childish. And secondly, you know, he called the man who also named Nick by his first name, but didn't have a problem with that. So shouldn't that, you know, be a two-way street there?
That is true. I watched that video and I thought the reporter, and I don't know Nick Suss, I had not heard of him until yesterday, but it felt like he thought that Deion was kind of joking. I'm sure that if he thought that he was going to walk out on him, that he probably would have, okay, Coach Sanders, whatever. Here's your question. But it just seemed – so you think it might be scripted a little bit?
Part of me wondered that, but at the same time, I have a hard time buying it just because of how egomaniacal it was. And just that it wasn't – if it was something that I think reflected well on Deion, maybe he thinks it does, then I can buy it doing it for attention's sake. But – you know, he called him a good guy, and then right before the exchange happened, and then it does not make any sense to me at all. But, you know, and also I feel like we need to add to in the Big 12 SEC conversation, saw a tweet from Dennis Dodd from CBS as we were talking about this, which I had forgotten completely. There is, back when we did this carousel a decade ago, the Oklahoma State legislature got involved and said if Oklahoma goes, Oklahoma State has to go too. So that could be a wrinkle in Oklahoma that could easily douse these burning embers before they become a raging fire.
Yeah. Mike Gundy holding things up again.
Mike Gundy is, you know, Lincoln to the SEC, and it actually never happened.
Mike Gundy's coming to the SEC one way or another, even if he has to claw into Oklahoma's coattails. I mean, that's interesting, too. I mean, if you're the SEC, are you open to the possibility of taking Oklahoma State to get Oklahoma and Texas if that's something you think is desirable in the first place?
You become 17 teams, and then, you know, I'm also now thinking my head's spinning. By, you know, Baylor and Texas Tech have some pretty powerful alums too in the state of Texas. They're not going to be happy at all if Texas bails.
Well, we can't take everybody. I mean, this isn't a
the first 20-team conference in college sports history. Let's do it.
I mean, if you're going, like we talked about earlier, to get rid of the divisions, I suppose you could have 17.
There's nothing stop. I mean, there's nothing stop if you're not playing everybody every year. Of the conference championship game, you go to basically say nine conference games, while the SEC has been really steadfast in remaining at eight. You know, you could happen, or if we're doing fantasies here, maybe this becomes Nick Saban's fantasy where you play a conference only schedule every single year and you only play teams in your own conference.
Mm. That was a conversation we had last year about the 13-game SEC round robin when it looked like nobody else was going to play. I was all for it. I thought that would have been a cool one-off type thing to do. But, yeah, you just wonder, is this heading towards a European Super League type of format where the best teams in the country just band together and just play each other and keep all the stinking money for themselves? But we'll see. Nick, it's college football, man. Never a dull moment. Always appreciate your time, Nick Bromberg. Thanks so much for jumping on.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm sure this is going to keep going for just a little while.
Oh, yeah. Tip of the iceberg.
Yes.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks.
At Nick Bromberg on Twitter. You want to go follow him? I'm sure he'll be tweeting and talking about this news more as we go on today. So, Bear was right. There's a first time for everything.
I told you.
Oklahoma State. You want an I told you so? We haven't. Nobody's had a good I told you so in a while. You want one? I'll give you one. I give you
don't
one.
Don't need one.
I'll take
You're
one.
Right as much as I am.
Take it.
I told you so.
Would you take Oklahoma State if you're the SEC and you want this? And who knows? I mean, if you're Greg Sankey, the SEC, is this good business to add Texas and Oklahoma?
I don't know. I don't think it was good business to add Missouri.
It's not about Missouri. It's about St. Louis. And it wasn't about Texas A&M. It's about Dallas-Fort Worth and adding those TV markets. And if you add Texas, are you getting something that Texas A&M wasn't giving you? I don't know what that calculus is.
You get Texas. I mean, they are a brand. It would be pretty cool to have the UT. We'd find out who the real UT is.
I mean, you might have to have a – forget a college football playoff. You're going to have an SEC playoff. What? How do you have an SEC championship game with 17 teams?
I don't know. I thought that they've swelled the conferences too big already.
Are we just going to assume that what you're saying and what Dennis Dodge said, who is on the list, by the way, is true about Oklahoma State having to follow Oklahoma? It seems to me like in a day where everything is for sale and there are no morals and standards and, you know, pillars of integrity in any sort of legislative body anymore, it seems like that's something that Oklahoma could get out of.
I don't think they can. I really don't. I think that's
I mean, I'm no expert on Oklahoma politics, but it seems to me pretty silly that Oklahoma State could prevent Oklahoma from doing something that would benefit them.
I mean, welcome to the wacky world of 21st century politics. I think they could. Yeah, they just get the state legislature involved.
Interesting stuff. Quick timeout. The drive continues. We've got polls in the field. We will look at those results and take more of your phone calls when we continue. It is The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Stay with us.
The Drive.
Now is the time to join all the other Fan Run listeners.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Let's go to the polls. First of all, would you rather be entering year four of the Mike Leach era at UT than where we are now? 61.3% of the audience says yes. 38.7% say nay.
That's I'm kind of surprised about that.
He could have been ours, Bear. He could have been ours. Could be year four of the Pirate. We could be raising the Jolly Roger over Neyland Stadium. No NCAA on campus. Jeremy Pruitt would be I don't know, picking up Nick Saban's suit from the laundromat. Wouldn't have even heard of him. We'd have an offense averaging 500 yards. True, we might be giving up 30, 40 points a game. But we wouldn't be where we are now, which is to say utterly irrelevant on the national landscape. Second poll question this afternoon, perhaps this is more pertinent as this conversation has taken over the show and the national conversation in the college football world. Do you want to see Texas and Oklahoma join the SEC? Report out of the Houston Chronicle dropped about an hour ago that Texas and Oklahoma have both reached out to the conference about joining the SEC. Now, Greg Sankey, when he was reached for comment down at SEC Media Days, gave the old no comment. Bear, if this were a ridiculous nonsense story and there were absolutely no truth, no validity to it, don't you think he would have just said no?
Yeah. So that's with the no comment, pretty much tells me that there's been some kind of talk.
All right, now roll with me here for a second, and you might have to put on your tinfoil hat a little bit, but could Greg Sankey be playing 3D chess?
Absolutely.
What if there is no talk of Texas, Oklahoma? What if he planted this story? What if he's just using this to put some pressure on the NCAA, the schools, the Board of Governors, to get their act together and figure something out, make them think that he's about to flip the script, flip the whole world upside down, if they don't jump in and get in shape?
Huh? I mean, huh? No, I think Sankey's just going to do what he wants to do. And he made that pretty clear the other day. You know, the SEC's bigger than the NCAA.
865-546-8200. If you want to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline, 546-8200. W. Lynn is next. Good afternoon, Lynn.
Guys, I've got the whole plan figured out, but I want to ask you all a question first. I hope you're doing good today. Everybody doing pretty good?
Doing well, thanks.
I didn't know if you knew that at a Memphis quarterback club a buddy of mine went to in 1989, I believe, Frank Broyles promised that he would bring Texas to the SEC. South Carolina was an emergency move. Have you all ever heard this story?
No.
What happened was the Texas state legislature, and Barry, you hit the nail on the head talking about the state of Oklahoma, threatened to cut off all funding to the University of Texas if they left the Southwest Conference. And so they backed down, and we got South Carolina. And what Bear said about Oklahoma, it's T. Boone Pickens at Oklahoma State, and I'm sure he controls a lot of the state legislature.
But didn't he pass away?
Oh, is he gone? But I'm sure it's his son or somebody's running things that he used to have. I didn't know if he passed away. But Barry, you're right. That could be a problem. But just in case it happens, I have the WLN plan. Are you ready to hear this?
Before we hear the WLN plan, and believe me, I want to hear it. I just want to know, WLN, staunch traditionalist that you are, what do you think about this, man? Do you want to see Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC?
No, I even devised a plan that if we had a single TV package, we would go to 7 10-team conferences. We'd go back to the old days, and I'm not going to go through all that.
Okay.
But you'd have the old SEC, the old Big Ten, the old Pac-10.
Yeah.
Big Eight would add a couple. Southwest would add a couple, and you'd recreate the Big East.
Yeah, we'll call that the get-off-my-lawn plan that's never going to happen. But go ahead, W. Lynn. Right. What's your new scenario?
Okay, if we go to 16 teams, what I've created is four divisions. And in this plan, you play every team in the SEC once every 2 years. It's like the NFL. You play your division. That's three games. And then the other three divisions, you play two games each. And then the next year, you play the other two teams. That equals nine games.
So we're going to a nine-game conference schedule.
And you're not going to probably like my divisions, but I had to try to do some geographical integrity. In the Western Division would be Texas A&M, Arkansas, Missouri.
Okay.
In the Southwest Division, you've got Oklahoma, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, LSU. In the Southern Division, you've got Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Alabama, Auburn. Hmm. In the Southeast Division, you've got Kentucky, South Carolina, Florida, Georgia.
It's interesting. I was actually doing a similar exercise during the break and trying to come up with West, North, East, South. It was just impossible because like the divisions were lopsided competitively. So,
right.
But that, I mean, what you said, what you did, that does sound pretty good, pretty competitive, pretty even.
And, of course, you know, I'm wanting to do away with the championship games. I want to go to 16 teams. The SEC would host the SEC regional. It'd be SEC number one versus somebody from another conference. They'd make all the money they make now. You know, the Big Ten would have their championship game. Big Ten number one would be have an opponent like SEC number two or ACC number two, and let those conferences keep the money, the old Power Five. That's what this is all about, money, guys. And
sure.
I don't know if you've heard, for the 12-team playoff, the TV revenue is estimated at $2 billion. Don't tell me that's not why they're going to 12. That's why they're going to 12 teams. Because this COVID epidemic scared everybody, sports-wise.
Mm.
$2 billion is three times what the final year of the current playoff plan is paying out, which is like 700 and some million. Think of that, guys, $2 billion. So
that's a lot of money.
I'm against expanding, but we can't control it. And like I said, Texas and Oklahoma and Oklahoma State were looking to come to the SEC several years ago when they thought the Big 12 was going to fold. And it's about to fold. You know, it's I don't know how Kansas State, and Iowa State will do. Maybe they'll go to the Big Ten. You know, the Texas schools. Did you know about the trip the Pac-12 commissioner made years ago trying to create a Pac-16?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, he went through the power Big 8 and Southwest Conference schools, and he wanted to pick up six of them, and they said no.
So the new SEC, you know, the SEC is leaving CBS for ESPN in a new TV deal that starts in 2024. And can you imagine how long and how many hours and lawyers' fees and everything it took to draw this up? $3 billion is the deal. It'd be an annual payment over $300 million to the SEC over the life of what I believe is an 11-year deal. I guess if you would have to tear that up and start over. If you're adding these teams, it would be more money in the pot and obviously two more teams with their hand in the pot. But that's the calculus that Greg Sankey and the school presidents would make, right? Is this more money? And you raised such a great point, Lynn, about the COVID thing. We should have hit on that earlier, but you're absolutely right. I mean, these schools, not just the cash-strapped ones like Tennessee, but even the cash-flush ones like Bama and Georgia, everybody took a hit last year, and everybody is looking to make that money back and protect themselves in the future. And so why not?
And, Jackie Sherrill at another Memphis quarterback club, he had a plan where we would eventually have four 16-team conferences.
Yeah, I remember that.
Basically, the Big 12 would be gone, you know.
And I'll bet you that's what happens, man. If this comes to pass and we add Texas, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, something like that, the Big 12 is probably just going to go away. And then you're going to see the other conferences try and expand as well. Len, we're out of time. It's great to hear from you, my friend.
Good to hear you guys, too. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. We got to take a quick timeout. Hour number three of The Drive coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.